B and Manny B is in the building. It's been a long time, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm kind of offended though, bro, because like it's like you said, it's been a minute, man. I was starting to feel like there was some animosity or some, or I'm banned or something. Like there's an unofficial ban on me appearing on the show.
No, absolutely. First of all, we're fellow Laker brethren, right? Okay, and now I get it. We are on the opposite side when it comes to baseball. I get
that. Yeah.
There's some things there, but I'm still celebrating. I'm happy. I'm in a good mood. You are always invited. Always.
Okay, I'm just making sure, you know. You and I run in the same circles and we know some of the same podcasters.
But over the last few years we've had some
falling outs in their circles and whatnot. So I'm
Manny
just,
B,
I'm
me
just
and
making
you
sure, bro.
Me and you never fell out. We got an album cover together. We got an album
yes, sir.
Cover.
Yes,
okay?
sir.
I still got yes, that sir. Mat. Yes, I still got that mat in the closet.
I fucks with you too, bro.
It's still there.
I'm just messing with you, bro.
You be super busy. This is what the audience don't know. Dude, he be super busy, and then he try to put it on other people.
Yeah, I do be busy, bro. You know, hey, listen, man. You know, us working professionals out here. I don't have to tell many people in the audience. Y'all know how it is.
Yeah,
working 30-year-olds out here trying to grind. You know, it's hard out here.
We trying to get this money.
Hey, man, I got 3 kids. I got a kid in travel football and basketball, man.
I know
how that is.
I'm over that. I'm over that. God bless you on that one. That's a journey right there. It's beautiful though.
It's beautiful, but it's raping my pockets. Let's just say that.
I know, because Saturdays, I know you booked.
Yeah. Saturdays, weekends are tough, but you know, this is for the non-married people out here. This is the reason why you get married, man. Your wife is your like your personal calendar manager.
Yeah.
And she manages everything. She's good at it. You know, she helps you like, oh, babe, you got this going on this weekend. All right, bet. Thanks, babe. Didn't even realize that. Boom.
Yeah, you need that Dwayne Wade. You need that Wade on your team. You know what I mean? So, but look, I don't want to keep you short because I know you are. I mean, I don't want to keep you long because I know you are busy. I got a couple of questions. You know, Duke had a phenomenal season this year. Phenomenal season, y'all. The best player by far in men's basketball, correct?
Yeah,
we seen that coming as soon as he signed with Duke, because he looked like a Duke player.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's written in the stars, right there, man.
Now, look, as much as I want to make fun of this whole situation, I will say this. Seeing what we saw in the national championship, at least we know Cooper Flagg is taking that shot. He getting that shot off.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, man, I'm just now feeling like I'm not over it, but I'm feeling like, all right, it's happened. It's good. I can't do nothing about it. Man, last weekend was rough, man. I really felt like this was the year. You know how you, as a fan, sometimes you feel like your team is the team of destiny. Like it's going to happen. Like it's just, this is our year. It's going to happen.
Are you talking about that year that UCLA lost to Gonzaga at the buzzer?
Yeah. You know the vibes.
Yeah.
So it's like when you lose in such heartbreaking fashion, like y'all lost in heartbreaking fashion. We lost in like just...
It was a disappointment.
Like, you know how,
it was a disappointment.
It's like you know you're about to get it. I don't want to be morbid or anything like that, but it's like, you know, like I how I imagine people in a plane crash, like you know you're about to die, mm-hmm. and that like that, and it's like you know it's about to happen, and that fear, that fear and that energy and that just that mentality that hits you as the moment is about to happen and you just can't do nothing about it.
That's what it felt.
That's what it felt like watching Duke, bro. It's like you're watching this team just die in front of your eyes, like the car crash about to happen, and you in the car with these motherfuckers, and you just can't do nothing about it. Like nobody, like we can't hit the brakes, we can't do nothing. It's just,
and I didn't even have a lot of time to celebrate. You want to know why? Because I put money on you guys.
I didn't even think we were gonna lose that. I didn't even, it was crazy, right? Because I didn't even think we were going to lose the game. Even as we were collapsing, I still felt we were going to win the game until like the final second when the buzzer went off. Like, that's how shocking it was.
Yeah.
Like, even at the end, like, oh, he's going to miss the free throw. Oh, all right, shit. All right, we're going to make, Coop's going to get the shot off. Oh, like, nothing, bro. Like, it was just shocking. It was just an utter collapse, man.
Well, for what it's worth, they got y'all going back. And then there was even there's a rumor floating around that Cooper Flagg might not be interested in this year's draft.
I mean, that's the scuttlebug or whatever. I honestly don't believe it, bro. When have you seen an NBA prospect of this level? Of this level. I ain't talking about, you know, a nigga predicted to go 10th to the Kings. Well, I'm talking about the consensus, like, this is a generational, like, everybody agrees this is a generational draft pick.
Is he signed a Nike yet?
No, nah, he signed a New Balance.
It is New Balance.
He signed a New Balance. He already got the shoe contract. He's making a bag at Duke.
So that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't he return to up that bag a little bit more?
Well, that's the thing though. Obviously, we're sitting there trying to get in the head of a 19-year-old that we don't know. But, like, I think, well, here's the thing, right? Like, returning to Duke or going to play for the Charlotte Hornets or the Washington Wizards, I feel like it just depends on who gets the pick, right? Like, now, if the Spurs get the pick, that's different, right? Because now you're going into a situation, I know Pop's health is a question mark or whatever, but you're still going into an organization that's stable and that has a history and a tradition of winning.
Uh-huh.
Hornets, not so much. The Wizards, not so much. Hell, even the Sixers. Like, if the Sixers get the number one pick, like,
that's not,
you really
want
to go there with PG and Embiid and all that shit going on there, and Nick Nurse and the boy genius that is our GM. Like, do you really want to go there? Like, I feel like this might be an Eli Manning situation where he might sit back. Ultimately, I think he will come out, but I think he'll lose his leverage. I think he'll sit back and be like, "All right, I don't have to declare right now. I'm gonna sit back. I'm a wait to landscape. I'm gonna wait to that NBA draft lottery. I'm gonna see who gets the number one pick. And if the Washington Wizards get that shit, or the Sixers get that shit, or the Hornets, hell, even the Jazz, he may be think like,
well, what's the timeline on that? That's a good question. What's the timeline?
I think he has, because I think the draft lottery, I saw it on Twitter the other day. I think the draft lottery is like the second week in May.
Okay.
And I think he has to officially, like, the paperwork has to be in, like, I'm declared, I'm in the draft by like mid to late May. So I think the draft lottery comes first. So I think he's got leverage. I think he's got time. I think, like, I'm just throwing, for the audience out there, I'm just throwing these dates out there. These are not the accurate dates. It's something I've seen on Twitter. But I think the draft lottery is somewhere like around May 12th, May 15th. And I think he has to make a decision by like May 21st, something like that.
Okay. All right. Well, so what do you
think? I think that works. I think that just aligns with his team and his strategy as far as like, I'm kind of just going to wait it out and see what I want to do now.
So isn't this kind of telling though? Like, do you feel like, all right, in your honest opinion, because I've been watching Cooper since he was in high school, because no one has come close to that skill talent in a while or whatever. So I'm not saying that he got as much publicity and cameras on him as Zion and others, but his game is pure. You know what I mean? So, and once he got to Duke, he kind of toned it down a little bit as far as his personality. In high school, he was wilding. He was dunking on cats and looking at them, staring at them for the whole. He was wilding.
He was wilding.
Yeah, they talking about the new coming of Larry Bird. I don't know how his trash talking is, but he got a long ways to go when it comes to that.
Hey, he there, bro.
The swag is crazy. Yeah. But what is he once he gets to the league? Is this a guy that's going to turn around a franchise, or is going to help turn around a franchise?
I think it's always hard to say, right? Because so many people, even the people that make millions of dollars, prognosticators trying to figure this stuff out, always get this stuff wrong. I think first and foremost, not knowing anything about this kid, it sounds like he's got a good head on his shoulders. It sounds like he's got a good support system. So he's got a good background to him. Like, it sounds like everything from the character work is there. From his game, bro, what I love about Coop, bro, he doesn't need the ball to dominate. That man could dominate without scoring. Like, he's great defensively. He's a good rebounder. He's versatile. I think he could play several different positions. Like, so he's versatile in that sense, right? So what is he? I think he's a franchise-altering guy, bro. I think he walks in day one. And not that I think he's going to, like, oh, he's going to average 35 points a game in year one, like on some MJ shit. Like, nah. But I think he's a guy that can literally change around your franchise year one, in the sense that he walks in and already the culture shifts, the energy shifts, the conversation shifts. You know, if he's on the Jazz, like, already it's Cooper Flag, it's his franchise, the conversation shifts. You can see it. I think he could play in the league today. I mean, yo, he was in USA. He was on the USA team giving cats work.
Yeah.
Like, NBA Hall of Famers work. But we're supposed to believe that he can't play in the league? Like, what?
No, I think he can play in the league. It's just a matter of to see where, you know, this is, he has now a certain different type of hype. Even different hype than Zion, and we know why it is. We can't ignore the race card.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah,
but sure. He is definitely he a hooper, though. You don't get that type of attention if you're not hooping like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, like, well, Zion was just a force of nature. Like, Zion was just – like, I said this. I think Zion is the closest thing in the 21st century that we had to, like, young Shaq. Like, yeah. Zion was just, like, the unstoppable force, the immovable object. Yeah. Cooper, to me, is more akin to, like, a Larry Bird. Like, I imagine Cooper Flagg being what Larry Bird was in, like, 78, 79, where it was like, this kid can't miss. He could do it all. Like, the only question is about what situation he goes into and health with every prospect, right?
Yeah.
What situation he going into and what health. I think that's the biggest thing. To me, that's the biggest thing with Cooper Flagg. You ask me, is he a franchise changer, or is he one of the guys that could change the franchise? I think he's a franchise changer. I think it depends on where he goes, right? Like, I think so much of this is predicated on what franchise you go to, bro.
I like the Utah fit.
The impact that you can make. I like the Utah fit. It's a little clunky because, you know, they got Kyle Filipowski there, another Dookie, who's playing actually really well, quietly, low-key playing well. You know, they got Lauri Markkanen. They kind of got a lot of guys there that kind of fit the same mold. I'm not even talking about, like, tall, semi-athletic to athletic white guys. Like, I'm talking about just you kind of got guys that are redundant from a positional standpoint. I know we live in this world of positionless basketball, but I still feel like having redundancy is a thing. So I don't know if the Utah Jazz thing right now, as currently constituted, is a fit. Now, obviously, if they get the pick, they're going to draft Cooper Flagg.
You only have a positionless roster if depending on the skill talent.
Exactly. That too, right? So that applies. And Cooper's versatile, and I think he could play the three. He could play the four. You know, he could be a small ball five in some lineups. So there's positional versatility there. But yeah, I think Utah, out of the three or four like bad fits, I think Utah's the best fit. I think San Antonio is scary though. If they get Cooper Flagg, and that's barring obviously Wembanyama with the blood clots is healthy, because that's a big deal that I feel like a lot of people in the media aren't really talking about. Like, this dude's got blood clots at 21.
Yeah,
that's interesting. But if he's healthy and the medicals check out, you're talking about Cooper Flagg, Wembanyama, my dude from UConn that they drafted this year that's playing well. They got, you know, Vassell and some other kids that, like, now you're looking at the Spurs like, yo, they got a squad. Well, they got a young core there that you could build.
They do play the long game, so they're gonna take some season off to make sure they stack up their picks.
And De'Aaron Fox, I can't forget they got De'Aaron Fox as well. Yeah. So they now, if he goes to the Spurs, now you're talking about like, oh, he's in the perfect situation. And I think the Spurs is a perfect situation for him because I think he doesn't come in day one have to be the savior. That's the other thing about it, right? Like, he could kind of ease his way in there, as opposed to when he goes to the Wizards, he's the savior day one. He goes to the Jazz, he's the savior day one. He goes to Portland, he's the savior day one. You know what I mean? Like, he goes to some of these other situations, he's the savior day one. On the Spurs, he might be the third option, fourth option. So I think he can blend in a little bit better.
That's not a bad position though, because
it's not.
I mean, not. looking at our roster, our third option is a our third option is a killer over there. You know what I mean? Gosh. A lot of teams want Reeves right now.
And you know what? It's all conversation right now, because in 5-6 years, Cooper's gonna be a Laker. I'm just putting that out there.
Oh wow. Cooper's coming to the Lakers.
I mean, this is what we do, bro. I mean, we got Luka, bro.
Here's the thing. Anything is possible.
Shout out to KG.
I was trying to tell people, like, I understand there's a fan base that get tired of the edited jerseys that's put on every single player that's highlighted. But after hijacking Luka like how we did, you can't really get mad at when we do this stuff. Not anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
I'm calling it right now, bro. Within the next 5 to 7 years, Cooper Flagg will either be a Laker or a Celtic.
He looked like a Celtic though.
He's from Maine. He's from New England.
He looked like a Celtic, but it would be good to. Oh my God, the storyline built there though. If he was a Laker, that's a hell of a storyline right there. And we're already comparing them to Bird, so it's like, you know. Yeah,
now we get our not to mention we got our present day Larry Bird now.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's you know, I know I'm about to piss off some fan bases with that assessment I just made. But you know, hey, listen, man, this is what we do, bro. We the Lakers, bro. We find our way to get stars. You know,
it's playoff time. So let's transition into that. We got the playoffs coming up.
Yes, sir.
And I haven't seen the West standings that close in a while. Yep. I can't remember the last time I seen it that close to where games were decided by maybe one or two games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So how do you feel? Now, let's be honest. As Laker fans, every year we think we're supposed to go to the championship is our goal every year. That's how we think. That's how we feel. Even if we do think... we can calm down a bit and we could look at those other teams and say, hey, these are pretty good teams over here on the East. These are a couple of good teams over here on the West. We knew damn for sure we couldn't rock with Denver the past couple of years. Denver was just hot. You know what I mean? The year that we won the championship, the year after, that Phoenix team, they had something to them, obviously, because they ended up going to the finals and losing to the Bucks. But there were some teams where we was like, this might be...
Bro, and I'll say this now. I'm glad you brought up the Phoenix thing. If AD doesn't get hurt in that series in 21, we're going back to the finals.
Well, hey, look. Hey, 12 Cal is always said, we go as far as AD. And he still is right. Yeah. Because we shipped him... to Dallas, so we will, you know. So shout out to that.
Shout out to AD.
Yeah. But looking at what has happened recently with Denver, seeing that, you know, we seen what we can do to OKC. The Warriors, I will always respect as long as that guy is on the team. And plus, he has another dog on that team, okay?
Yeah, two dogs.
Now, outside of that, what do you think the Lakers' chances are?
I think we got a great chance, bro. And I'm not just saying it because I got the Lakers pom-poms on or whatever, but, like, I think we got us. Like, the Western Conference is wide open, bro. Like, honestly, right now, like, I can make a case for the Thunder, obviously. I can make the case for... the Lakers. I can make the case for the Warriors. I can make a case for the Nuggets, of course. I can make the case for the Timberwolves. They were in the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah.
Like, I can make a case for four or five teams. Only team, like, you know, obviously, I'm not going to make a case for the Clippers. I think there's some teams that can't win it, like the Clippers, the Rockets. Rockets are too young. The Clippers,
OKC
whatever.
Is the youngest, it's the, aren't the they?
Yeah, they're the youngest, but I still don't believe in the Rockets. I feel like the Rockets are a little bit of fool's gold to me, my own opinion.
Uh-huh.
So there's some teams I can't make a case for, but like it's wide open, bro. Like if you told me right now the Minnesota Timberwolves are in the NBA Finals, would I be shocked? I'd be surprised. Would I be shocked? No. You told me right now the Lakers are in the NBA Finals, I'd be happy, but I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't even be surprised. If you told me the Nuggets. If you told me the I just threw shade on the Clippers, but even if the Clippers, like, you tell me Kawhi get back on a 2019 run, stays healthy, balls out, like, could the Clippers make a run? Sure. Like, the Western Conference is completely wide open, bro. And that's the thing. So I think we've got a good chance. I actually think we have a better chance this year than I even thought we had the last 2 or 3 years.
Well, I mean, shout out
to I really do.
I think the Clippers I think that window closed a long time ago, though.
I think it closed a long time ago, too. I really do. That's why I'm not like, I wouldn't go to Vegas with the Clippers. Like,
nah.
I wouldn't bet the mortgage on that one, but you know, I just think that's, to me, I think because OKC is so young and I still don't believe in the others, as Shaq says, I still don't believe in the others. SGA is a dog.
Yeah, certified. He is. He can get buckets. He can get a bucket.
No disrespect. Everybody else on that team, they young, they got talent, they good. Do they scare me? No. I'm not scared of those dudes. I'm not scared of Jalen Williams. I'm not scared of Dort. I'm not scared of these dudes.
Shout out to Dort.
I'm not. Shout out to them. They got a squad. Nice young core. Nice young nucleus. Am I scared of them? No. Denver to me kind of has a little bit of the Phoenix Suns from a couple years ago in them, where I think they kind of missed their opportunity. They won the chip, which is something Phoenix didn't do. But they lost key players. That situation there is a little messy. Obviously now we know of with the whole Mike Malone situation. Uh-huh. And I feel like Denver's advantage over us the last couple years was coaching, and it wasn't so much talent, because I feel like we had just as much talent as they did.
I agree.
I just feel like they just had a coaching advantage. This year, I don't think they have that coaching advantage. I think we match up well with them, and I wouldn't mind seeing them again in the playoffs. So I'm not scared of Denver. I respect them, but I'm not scared of them. Golden State, I respect them because they've done it. They've been there. They've done it. And they got that man, number 30. So as long as number 30 is walking, breathing, and healthy, I'm always going to respect Golden State.
Yeah.
But I think we match up well with Golden State.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's not a team that I don't think we match up well with. Like, and again, I'm not saying this as a Laker homer. Like, if the Lakers has issues, I would call it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that the Lakers are guaranteed. I'm not saying that the Lakers have no flaws. I'm not saying any of that. I just feel like we match up well with all of these teams. I really do. I feel like we match up well with all of these teams. Like, there's not one team that I'm like, oh, shit, I don't want to play them or any of that. Like, last year, I didn't want to play Denver. Last year, I didn't want to play certain teams or whatever. This year, I'm like, bro, bring it.
Yeah.
You match up with any of these teams.
I mean, obviously, last year we had AD. And again, as much as we love and respect AD, it was one of those things where as soon as the season started, we wanted the season to be over because we wanted him to get to the playoffs as healthy as possible. Now we got a guy, we're attacking from a different philosophy now because we got one hell of a backcourt. You know what I mean? One of the trades didn't go through, and I'm kind of happy about that, although I haven't seen much of Kinect. I still think, you know, Hayes has been playing well, but now this is a whole totally different season now in the playoffs. I've given JJ a lot of credit. I'm on record as saying I don't have any reason outside of how he talks about the game on a podcast or on First Take, but I just felt like this was a Pat Riley type of vibe. And I had just said, give him a chance. But I also gave Darvin Ham a chance. There was also some assistant coaches that I liked that was sitting on the bench that I said, well, you should give them a chance as well. But it just didn't work out, you know. And now that we have JJ, he put up 50 wins, possibly 51. We do play Portland today. Shout out to Bronny. He'll be starting.
Yeah.
So, you know, I give JJ a lot of credit. I think our chances are good. But I would be a lie if I didn't say I wasn't a little concerned about maybe OKC because of how athletic their defense is hella crazy. They're younger than us, you know what I mean, they do have a solid bench. Denver, we still have to beat them. You know what I mean? And like you said, with the Warriors, as long as Curry's on that team, I have to respect it. Even though last week or something like that, he got held to 3 points. But what, a day or two before that, he dropped 50 or something like that. So you can't really count him out just yet. The West is still a West. Any hot takes on the East?
Before I get to the East, though, I think the difference is this year with the Lakers, we got Mariano Rivera, we got Dennis Eckersley, we got a certified closer, which is, I think, the thing that we've been missing the last few years. You look back to the last two Denver series, we lacked a closer.
Yeah,
we lacked someone that late in the fourth quarter. LeBron, I could argue LeBron's never been that, but that's a conversation for another day. But LeBron definitely at age 38, 39 was not that. Right. But now we got a certified, like, legit down three, we need a bucket, Luka. Like, we got a dog. We got a certified closer now.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the difference. And I think really that's the difference. I agree with you. There's some question marks. JJ being a rookie head coach, that's always a question mark in the playoffs. You know, I think the size issue, the issue with the extra big, not having that other big on the roster, I think could potentially impact us. But that's the thing with OKC. OKC's not a great rebounding team either. That's why they don't concern me. I'm more concerned, honestly, if I'm keeping it a buck with you, I'm more concerned with Denver than I am with OKC. Because you got to stop Joker, obviously. And my thing for me is I think a team with size will give us work, as opposed to a team like OKC that's a little bit more matchup oriented. That I think, yes, they're younger and faster, more athletic, but I don't think that gives us an issue as much as size. So, again, it's all conjecture. We got to play the game, so we'll see. But, yeah, I just wanted to add that there with the Lakers. As far as the East, man, I feel like the East is kind of like how the West used to be. It's like, it's nice. We could convince ourselves that, like, oh, this team has a shot. But, yo, wake me up when the Eastern Conference Finals starts, bro.
Yeah.
It's Celtics Cavs, bro.
Well, look, they do have some. Look, we got Detroit back in the building. Okay, and Atlanta is in a play-in.
Young team. I think Detroit's going to play well. I actually think that series is going to go seven. I think the Knicks and Pistons are the projected matchup right now. I actually think that's a good series, and I think it's going to go seven. But I think Detroit's a year away.
A year away sounds good. It sounds accurate.
Yeah, they're like a year away from like really being like, all right, Detroit, we got to start having a conversation about Detroit. They're like where Cleveland was last year. They're like a year away from like really being, all right, they're ready to make some
noise. Do you think Detroit needs to make those moves that they talked about? They talk about Devin Booker, the Zion. I'm not messing with Devin. I'm off the Booker train.
I'm off the Booker train. I'm always one of those guys, bro. And you know this, you and Jarve, shout out to Jarve. Like, I'm always skeptical of making trades for the sake of making trades. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, I got to feel like it's a move that truly helps my franchise take the next step. Right. Like, I feel like a lot of GMs fall into this trap of, oh, there's the shiny new vehicle. Let's just buy it because we can. As opposed to, how does this help me get better?
Right.
Like, does Devin Booker make Detroit better? Yes. Does it make them that much better than in the East? Not really. I don't think so.
I mean, they get
Zion.
I wouldn't even, at this point, we've seen what Devin Booker could do. He's done a lot of damage over there in Phoenix. But what, to say that he could make them better, I don't know, especially depending on the pieces that they would have to lose for him.
That's the biggest key. What am I giving up for Devin Booker? You know, because I think that's the issue. That's the other issue that a lot of GMs fall under. It's like, oh, star player, let's just give up everything. And you lose your depth and you lose your leverage, right? So I think that that's the situation where I think I would have to monitor. It would depend on what I'm giving up. Zion, because I feel like he's a depreciated asset, I would be more on board. And I know people are going to say it's the Duke thing. No, I take Duke out of it. I feel like I would call New Orleans and I would say, okay, what would it take for me to realistically do a Zion? trade, because I think Zion in New Orleans, they got to head to a divorce. I think he needs just a fresh start, a reset somewhere else. What would it take? And if I could get him at a depreciated value cost, then I'm all over the Zion move, because I feel like that's a move that takes them. I think that adds a different layer to them. If Zion's healthy and not out here trying to bang porn stars or whatever, like, he's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
That's different. You know what I mean? But I think both of them I would inquire on, but it would be dependent on the price that I'm having to pay.
Yeah. I'll leave that Detroit squad alone. Let them build off of that. They got
let them build off that.
Yeah, they got to wait for Ivy to come back.
I feel like Houston too. I feel like that'll be a Houston. Like, why rush it, bro? Just keep my thing is, like, with these young teams, bro, is keep growing, keep developing, bro. Don't rush it. Don't rush the process. I feel like that's what got Philly in trouble. That's what got Phoenix in trouble. That's what got Denver back in the day with the whole Carmel. Like, I feel like these teams just really rush the process.
Yeah.
And then they get themselves into a situation where they trade all their assets. And now, okay, you got the shiny car, but you got the, it's like these motherfuckers get themselves into a situation where they got the Maserati, but you living in a 2-bedroom apartment on Section 8. Like, it's like, what? You're not really doing nothing, my guy. You hustling backwards. So, yeah, I think that's the issue. But, yeah, if I was Detroit, I'd inquire. I'd make the phone call, but I'd be cautious to make those moves.
And, you know, Houston has – they got a coach already. They got a good coach.
Yeah, they got a coach. That's the other thing about Detroit. Is Bickerstaff the long-term
– We fuck with Bickerstaff, though. We fuck with him, though.
Yeah, he's all right, but I don't know if he's the – he's the guy that gets you out of the cellar – and gets you to the door. Is he the guy that gets you into the club, into VIP?
Who is that coach, though? Because, like,
now you got some options. Now you got a Taylor Jenkins available. Now you got a Mike Malone available. Now you got some guys now that have
now won chips. Ooh, I'm glad you said that. I am glad you said that, because I had shout out to what up though, because I sent them in some. They're Detroit Pistons fans. And I was very critical, or I am very critical of Isaiah Stewart. I think he's a fake. Well, I don't want to call him a fake tough guy anymore after I took it back. I think he does too much.
to paint
the bad boy.
He's too loud, bro.
Yeah,
he's too loud. You and I both grew up in the hood. The loudest nigga in the room is usually the weakest nigga in the room. Like, so it's, you're doing too much.
But here's the thing, I think Mike Malone would be the perfect coach for that Detroit team.
Absolutely.
I think if you want to bring back that bad boy, because you got the coach that's going to buy into it, and you know he hate us. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know if he hates us or if he just hates LeBron while he's with us.
I don't know. It's a good discussion piece. Probably a little bit of both.
Well, if he go to Detroit... I wouldn't even say turn, because that franchise is already turned around. I mean, my God, they are in the playoff, not the play-in.
Yeah. That's in the playoffs. Solid.
That's very impressive. Yeah. That's very impressive.
Yeah, but
at the same time.
And I'm not trying to beat down a brother either. Bernie's done a good, you know, Bickerstaff has done a really good job. I think he deserves to coach that team as long as he shows he's capable of coaching that team. I'm not saying get rid of him tomorrow. I'm saying, like, is he the guy long-term and two? Because I believe every team has about a 3 to 5 year window. And in that 3 to 5 year window, is Bickerstaff the guy that's going to get you to a final?
I don't think about that. Manny, I don't think it even matters. You want to know why? Because we had two head coaches get fired from two championship teams.
That's true. The NBA is different now.
Yeah.
NBA is different now, bro. It's totally different.
Milwaukee, like, lost their head coach. Denver lost their head coach, and they both bought them rings within the past, what, 3-4 years?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Nah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, you're right. So it's totally different. So I agree with you. I think Malone on the Pistons would be great.
I think that's
I could also see Taylor Jenkins there. And also, that's not even counting all the other coaching vacancies that might come. Like, if Milwaukee flames out again, I think Doc might be out of there.
That's a hot take.
Is it really, though?
I mean, well, because you don't really fuck with Doc like that.
I respect Doc, but at some point, like, I'm not a Doc killer. Like, I don't kill Doc, But it's getting hard to defend, my nigga. Like, bro, like, it's 2008 was a long time ago, my nigga. Like, we that's you won that championship and George W. Bush was in office, my G. Like, you it's about time now. Like, you ain't even gotten back to a final. Yeah. Or you've gotten, or yeah, he got back to a final, but you ain't got back to since he lost in 10. Like, it's been spooky out there for Doc. So, you know, I'm not a Doc Rivers hater. But I will admit that, like, it's getting harder and harder to defend him, especially he keep blowing leads. He keep underachieving with some of the rosters. Now, Milwaukee's had some injuries, the whole Dame situation. But, yeah, I think if he flames out, if he loses in the first round, if I'm a GM, I mean, they fired Budenholzer. And the nigga was mourning his brother's loss. Yeah. And they fired him. Like, yep. Appreciate everything. First, but you gotta get him out of here. Yep. Like, they wouldn't fire Doc for far less. Like,
but don't we know that it's something about Doc that they won't do? It's just, I don't understand it.
Doc is a survivor, bro. Doc knows where the I'm convinced Doc Rivers knows where the bodies are buried, bro.
That's it. He got the pictures, legit. He got the videos or something legit. Like that.
He got dirt. Him and his agent got dirt on every damn owner and GM in the league. After. Because, bro, they don't fire a dude until, like, way past expiration date.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, listen, I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but I wouldn't be surprised. I know you ain't in New York. I'm not even in New York anymore either, but I still keep up with New York media and New York conversation. There's a lot of talk that if our guy doesn't do anything in the playoffs this year, or if they have a quick exit, you know, could Tibbs possibly be on the way out, especially with Mike Malone being out there. And Mike Malone has ties to the Knicks.
Wow. Obviously.
So That's a topic of conversation.
Okay, so let's do this. So let's do this right here, right now. Who are you picking Mike Malone to go to be in the next? Now that this is all pending on, what the Knicks do, right?
Right.
Obviously, what the Pistons do as well, because what if the Pistons get out of the first round?
That's the big thing. I think a guy like Malone, I think Malone will probably take a year off if he's smart. He takes a year off. For the record, I don't think they're going to fire Tibbs this year.
But do you think if they offer Mike a job right now, you think he going to take it? Or is he still going to stay year?
I think it'll depend on what team. Like, if the Charlotte calls Mike Malone, he's going to be like, no, thank you. Like, like, he's not going to take any job. Like, I think he's going to sit out a year. I think he's going to step back. I think he's going to reassess the landscape. I think he's going to wait and see what the Knicks do. I think he's going to wait and see what Detroit does. I think he's going to wait and see what Milwaukee does. I think he's going to let some of these jobs that are kind of on dubious footing shake out, and then I think he'll make a decision. I can see Taylor Jenkins jumping back in it quicker than I can see a Mike Malone.
What about that Memphis job, though?
They like that assistant that they brought in. I think the guy that they added to Jenkins' staff. I've been listening to some scuttlebug that apparently they really wanted to give. They wasn't feeling Jenkins after last year, and then so they brought in this like European assistant guy, this European coach that they really like. And so supposedly the rumor is that they want to make him the coach. Mm-hmm. I don't know how accurate that is. I don't even know how the Memphis thing is. I don't even want to touch that with a 10-foot pole because to me Ja is defective, bro. Ja is a ticking time bomb at this point. Like people talk about Zion. Zion just likes jambalaya and likes to fuck porn stars.
Yeah.
And Ja, to me, is a ticking time bomb, bro. You don't even know what the hell this dude is going to do right now. So
Ja might be on my tough guy, acting like a tough guy list, too.
He not might be. He been on that list.
He got so many weapons.
He been on that list. Bro, but, like, the Memphis thing is interesting because I'm like, that team might have blown their opportunity. They had a window, and they kind of blew it. Like, to me, OKC is what Memphis should have been now.
Okay.
And they kind of botched it. The Ja thing, the injury, and the suspension, they kind of, bro, these windows close real fucking fast in the league, bro. You know how it goes.
Yeah.
1 year you're the crop of the NBA, and you're next up, and then the next year, coaches getting fired, rumors about attitude and character, and like these things change quick, bro. So, I think Memphis is an interesting situation. I don't know who's going to take that job because I think the job. I think here's the thing. I think coaches will be allured because of the job thing, but I think coaches will be afraid because of the job thing.
He's the gift
and the curse.
I get that. But I think right now for the top two picks for Mike Malone, I'll have to ask my Piston fans how do they feel about Mike Malone. I think that would be a perfect fit, man. But that New York Knicks job is very intriguing, especially with him getting Denver a chip, like.
If you had to ask me right now, pick wise, like what do I think? I think Mike Malone either gets the Knicks job or if it's available, the Knicks job or the Pistons job. Those are the two teams that I can see Mike Malone on. Taylor Jenkins, I can see him going to the Bucks if that job opens up.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
That would be my not so accurate predictions. We'll see.
Okay, so now I need two final selections. I need obviously we're gonna pick one with the Lakers involved and just pick an alternate one. But
all right,
entertaining.
All right. Right. So my bias, like it's Lakers versus everybody, fuck everybody else. I'm gonna go with Lakers Celtics.
Yes.
I think it's good for the league. League needs it.
We need that.
The league would need it. It would need it. These ratings would need it. I'm gonna go Lakers Celtics, and it's an easy one to pick. Obviously, Lakers Celtics. Who cares, right? Like that's the easy one, right? But no, I think it's very possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Celtics to me are clearly the best team. Lakers have a chance in the West.
I would like Lakers Knicks too, though.
Yeah, Lakers Knicks. I just don't think the Knicks are there, man. I don't think they are either.
But as far as like
Lakers Knicks, I would argue Lakers Knicks would do better than even Lakers Celtics.
That's a fact. Because coming off that Dodgers and Yankees World Series, and we head into a Lakers versus Knicks. Come on, give me that.
The Adam Silver would be doing cartwheels in the world if he got that in the finals.
Yeah,
I don't think that. I think that's less likely, obviously, but you know, we'll see. And then my non-Laker fan, like just analyst, media person, whatever you want to call me or whatever, I'm gonna go with Celtics.
Celtics OKC?
Because
I don't see any other team giving Celtics any type of challenge outside of OKC.
I would have said before Mike Malone got fired, I would have said Denver because of the continuity. Now, who the fuck knows? I'm going to go Celtics. I don't want to pick OKC just because it's boring, right? It's like everybody's going to pick that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Celtics, Warriors.
Ooh.
I feel like the Lakers and the Warriors are the two teams in the West that if I'm the Thunder, I'm afraid of. I think the Warriors can make a run. I think the Lakers can make a run.
Hmm.
I'll say this about the Warriors. I think the Warriors have to avoid. I don't even know if they're locked into that six seed. Are they locked into the six seed? There's still a chance that they could.
Yeah,
they're the six seed as we speak. But are they locked into it?
Well, they are down. I think it's halftime right now against the Clippers. They're down by two. So that's a close game for right now.
And I'm here. Let me do some little research on the air.
Denver is currently smacking the dog mess out of Houston.
Denver is the fourth seed. So that's what I. So the Clippers have 32 losses. The Warriors have 33 losses. So
I don't know any of the tiebreakers between them. I know we owned all
that's
the tiebreakers.
That's the question. I'm doing this exercise because I think the Warriors want to avoid the Lakers at all costs. I think the Lakers, we match up too well.
Oh, wait. No, wait. I think that was the big buzz, is that if the Clippers beat the Warriors, then we'll end up playing the Clippers in the first round, right?
No, I think the Warriors have to beat the Clippers. Do they have the tie? It's all about the tiebreakers.
That's what I'm saying. If the Clippers beat the Warriors, they move up, right?
No, the Clippers are the five right now. So if the Clippers win, they're locked into the fifth seed. The Nuggets.
My bad.
If the Warriors win, then they're the fifth seed, and then the Clippers drop to six, and they play the Lakers.
And that'll play. Yeah, I had it switched around. So that's what we pushing for. If
we
pushing to play the Clippers.
Well, we pushing to play whoever. Like, I think one of those teams we beat.
It's whoever, but I do want to see. Let's get that first fade out the way. It's got to be. We haven't played the Clippers in the playoffs since what?
Damn. When was that?
Luka played them recently.
Yeah, Luka played them, but I'm saying like the Lakers and the Clippers in the playoffs.
Did we need that? Remember the year? Was it the year we won? No, not the year we won. There was a year where we could have met up in the Western Conference.
Yeah, we could have met up in the Western Conference Finals, I believe. But I think either the Clippers lost. Yeah, Clippers lost. I think.
The Clippers lost. The Clippers lost.
Yeah, the Clippers lost.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we played the Clippers in the playoffs since like the 90s, early 90s, probably. Danny Manning was on the fucking team.
Who knows? Who knows was on that team?
Who knows, bro? But I'll say this, right? So I'm doing all this because I think the Warriors want to avoid the Lakers, because I think the Warriors know that they don't match up well with the Lakers, and I think that we would beat them in a seven-game series. But I think if the Lakers could, if the Warriors could avoid us as long as possible, I think the Warriors can make a run. And I think if you're the Lakers, you want to avoid the Nuggets, obviously, because that's kind of been our bugaboo. So that's why these matchups and these seeds are so important.
That's a good phase. So that basically we'll swap. If we we'll end up playing the Clippers, and then Denver end up playing Golden State.
Yeah.
That's still good.
Because the Timberwolves, I think, are locked into the seventh, I believe. And then the play-in right now as we speak is Timberwolves, Grizzlies, Kings, Mavericks.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Wow, Dallas is still alive.
That's dead. Then barely, but they in there.
Yeah. Just about to see what AD can do.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're looking at the let's just play this out. Let's say the Timberwolves beat the Grizzlies, and then the Grizzlies beat whoever the Kings or Mavericks winner is. You got the Grizzlies as the eighth seed against the Thunder. That's not easy.
That's a good fade right there.
That's not easy. Like, if you're OKC, do you want to see the Grizzlies?
Yeah. Wichita going to have a lot of work on his hands. SGA going to have a lot of work on his hands.
Yeah, Rockets, Timberwolves in the first round.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
The Wizards is good all over the place. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're the Rockets, you're a novice at this. I know they got Udoka. He's a hell of a coach. But do you want to see the Timberwolves and Anthony Edwards? In the first round?
Yeah.
That's not I venture to take – I'd take the Timberwolves in that matchup if you're asking me right now.
I'm keeping a close eye on that Knicks and Detroit game, though. I'm keeping an eye on that series.
Yeah, the Knicks and Detroit are the most interesting Eastern Conference series. Like what? Like Cavs – because what's in the playing for the – what's the plan in the East?
Orlando, Magic, Orlando versus Atlanta, and then Chicago Atlanta, versus and then Bulls, Miami.
Heat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's say the Magic. I think the Magic would beat the Hawks, so they lock into the seven, and then the Hawks would play the winner of Bulls Heat.
It might come down to Orlando. I don't know. Orlando, Miami.
Orlando is scary. Orlando, they've disappointed this year. That's another job low key that could be an attractive job, because Bankero's a dog,
mm-hmm.
and Bogner is a dog too. They got some pieces in Orlando. I think they just need some more. I think they need another veteran, and I think they need a coach.
And they definitely need
Orlando,
a coach.
Orlando, Celtics, Orlando. That's not interesting. Cavs in the AFC. That's a dub. Pacers Bucks is interesting. They don't like each other, so that's an interesting series.
They don't like each other, but it's a snooze fest.
That's an entertaining series. I disagree with you there. What? Giannis, Dame, Halliburton, the Pacers.
Yeah, but Giannis and Dame has already disappointed us. At least I know with this up and coming Detroit team and this shaky, because to me, if the Knicks don't get to the finals this year, that window is closing. To me,
I wouldn't say it's closing.
What you gonna get? You're gonna have to add another piece, and can they afford to add another piece and keep the same pieces that they have? Something gonna have to shake up.
I don't think it's closing, but I think the Knicks are kind of running up against that clock of like, all right, I think next year is the year for the Knicks. I think next year is the year where they gotta get to a final. I think this year, because of the Cavs and because of the Celtics, I think they could kind of make the excuse, but we're playing against two really good teams. I think next year is the year where if like the Knicks don't at least get to a conference final, I think a lot of people are gonna be like, yo, what are we doing here?
The Knicks is on the clock.
They're on the clock. They're on the verge of being on the clock. I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, to your point though, the Eastern Conference is a lot less interesting. There's only two first round matchups that I think would even pique my interest. Everything else is a snooze fest. I'm gonna ask you a question. Do you believe in the Cavs?
I never did believe in them at all. When they was running, for the past couple of years, they've been a solid team in the East. Number one, number two, I don't care. You got to show me in the playoffs. My standards are different. You should know this as a Laker fan. Our standards is different. Once you get into the playoffs,
last couple of years, Atkinson's the last couple of years. So that's different. They got a legit coach this time.
Okay. Well, let's see it happening. It's all about coaching strategy. And then your key players showing up in key moments. That's what I'm here for.
I agree. I will say this. I don't think the Cavs are going to get to a final, but I believe in them more than – I believe in the Cavs more than other people do. Like, I think the Cavs have – we know Donnie is certified. Donnie's a killer.
Mm-hmm.
They got a coach now, a legitimate head coach that knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And I love Mobley and – Allen. I love that duo inside. It's a throwback. It's something different.
So the only two teams in the East is the Celtics, and we still give Milwaukee some love because they actually won a championship recently, and they got another Hall of Fame guard.
Because you got Giannis. I respect Giannis. And we know what Giannis can do when Giannis gets hot. If he's healthy, Giannis can carry you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
But he needs that help. Jrue Holiday ain't there no more.
Yeah, he needs that help. I don't think the Bucks are getting to a final, before the record, but I'm just saying, like, I think the Pacers-Bucks is an interesting series. And then whoever wins that series plays the Cavs. Like, that's an interesting matchup.
What do you think about the Hawks?
Man, ain't nobody thinking about the Hawks. I ain't thought about the Hawks since Dominique was there.
Shout out. I ain't thought about the Hawks. In the play-in, baby.
I ain't thought about the Hawks since they was in the Omni, bro. I ain't thought about the Hawks. Who's the Hawks? Trae Young, Walmart version of Steph Curry.
Wow. You hear that one? Oh man.
Yeah,
I'm at the call 12 Cal after this one, man.
Ain't nobody thinking about the man, I'm thinking about Josh Giddey and the Bulls more than I'm thinking about the Hawks.
Wow, you put the Giddey in front of them. That's crazy.
Just keep them away from the proms.
Manny B, any given Sunday, sir.
Yes, sir.
You will have to return soon. Maybe towards the summertime.
I'll say this. You know, I return towards the summertime, especially if our team does what we both would like. That's a given.
You might be back before. Right? Yeah, yeah. I get that. But what I'm more pushing towards is we'll have enough games under our belt when it comes to baseball. When it comes to that MLB,
yes, sir.
We got a couple of key Dodger Mets and Dodger Yankee matchups around. You know, between July and June and July. So I just want to keep you on notice about that.
Who knows? By then, you know, the Dodgers will probably trade for Mike Trout at this point, because the fucking Dodgers get everybody at this rate. At this rate, I'm fully convinced the Dodgers will fucking reanimate Babe Ruth at this point.
Hey, man, you never know. Brooklyn, stand up. Brooklyn Dodgers, bring them back. Manny B, let them know where they can find you.
Yes, sir. At the Brown Manual on Instagram and Twitter. Appreciate all the love, bro. You know how I feel about you. You know you my homie from day one. So always appreciate the love. Always appreciate the support. It's a pleasure being on. And yeah, man, y'all can find me on Instagram and Twitter, The Brown Manual. I'm there. And then check out my work on MLBBro.com. I host Debatables. So it's a bi-weekly podcast that we do to all the hot topics around the sport. You can find me on MLBBro.com.
Hey.
MLBBRO.com.
Hey, real quick before we get out of here, what you think about those bats that they're using up there in New York? What's going on with them bats?
The torpedo bats, bro? I mean, listen, that's the thing about baseball, bro. Like, the gimmicks and all that is good, but it's like, it's different than the other sports, bro, because you can't hit that fastball, you can't hit that curve, bro. Like, it's, what are we doing? What are we talking about? You can have all the bats in the world. You got metal bats out there in that motherfucker. If you can't hit velocity, you can't hit the off speed. Like, you know.
Scouting report.
Whatever. I mean, it's a scouting report. Now, listen, I think it's cool. I'm all for whatever brings more offense into the game, whatever brings more excitement to the game. So if the torpedo bats are, I will admit the rollout was weird because the Yankees had them randomly. No one reported on them or said anything about them until the Yankees blasted 20 fucking runs opening day or whatever. Yeah. And it became a topic of conversation. So that was a little bit weird. But I'm a fan of the torpedo bats, whatever. Bro, I'm on the record of saying, bro, let them do steroids. Fuck it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I mean, it was a time to be alive when that Sosa and that Mark McGwire was going.
It's their bodies, not us. It's their bodies, not ours. Shit.
Their bodies are entertainment.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Manny B, appreciate you coming through. Had to talk a little Duke basketball, talk a little Laker basketball. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, on the way back, especially after the draft, after the NFL draft and getting to the middle of the season with MLB, we're going to have to come back. We're going to have to talk some Mets. We're going to have to talk some Yankees. We're going to have to talk some Jets.
Yeah. I guess we can talk some Jets.
Don't feel so excited.
I guess we got to talk about the Jets. You know what I mean?
I guarantee.
Shout out to Justin Fields, though.
I guarantee.
Shout out to Justin Fields, though.
That's a fact. I mean, look, the topic of discussion won't be too crazy if we hosting number 18. If we get number 18 in LA again, I'm pretty sure it ain't gonna be that difficult to talk about.
Oh, listen, if we get number 18 in LA, if y'all follow me on Twitter, y'all gonna have to block me.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah,
fucking
man.
Cash money shit. Matter of fact, don't even come my way. We get 18.
No,
and we stole Luka to get it, bruh. Don't even talk to me.
In the middle of the night.
Shout out to Nico though, man.
I'm going on record as saying this. I believe Nico is the prime example of keeping that deal. I think he made a deal with Kobe or Pelinka a long time ago, and he kept that deal. I believe so. Man,
He made a blood deal.
I think so. I think he made a deal with them and he kept it. And Rob called it in like, bro, remember you said, and Nico was like, nah.
Yeah, calling. He cashed. If you a wrestling fan, he cashed in the money in the bank.
Hey, because it went from you got to be kidding me to like, no, I actually feel bad for him because he's sitting up there
and he's taking
that criticism like a champ.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I feel like the owners need to get more, because that's an ownership call. That's the thing about fans. That's the thing that fans don't understand, bro. You're not trading. You don't make that kind of move. Like, ownership decides that. A GM may suggest whatever, but an owner can shoot that down real quick.
Yeah.
That's an ownership call.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so the owner, to me, got to get way more dirt.
A lot of people don't even know who the owner is. They don't even
know. That's people thinking that Mark Cuban signed off on it. They don't even know that Mark Cuban don't even own the team no more. Like,
Mark Cuban. He in the crowd with us.
He's just a season ticket holder at this rate. But, yeah, man, the Nico Harrison thing, it's ugly, bro. I feel bad for dude, bro, because whatever you may think of the trade or whatever, like, damn, bro. Like, he got to fall on the sword. That's the crazy part. He
got to
fall on the sword. What is he going to say?
He got fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Man. And he been holding it down, though.
He been holding it down. I mean, what else is he going to do?
Yeah, for sure.
It's crazy.
All right, Manny B, thank you for coming through, man. I got to finish the rest of this show. I got, you know, my boy Jamie Mack got some things to say about some players that he don't like historically and currently. So I'm going to finish that off. And then, yeah, man, I'll hit you up later.
All right, bro. I'll let y'all. And, yeah, let's go Lakers.
Yes, sir. All right, that was my guy, Manny B. But Jay Mack has something to say, man. And it's coming off of the, you know, I had asked him a question about players that he felt like was doing too much and things like that. And he had a couple of players that he wanted to share. It's a pretty lengthy voice message, but we're gonna get through it together. We're going to talk about it. And see what if up, we got PTG? Any of that lineup.
It's your boy Jamie Mack.
Jay Mack.
And I'm just hitting you up, man. Talk about my five. I'm gonna give you my top five
you
most
five
NBA
of
players of all time. And I might throw in an honorable mention just because, right? Like so let's just start from five and four. So number five. And the funny thing is this has nothing to do with his play on the court.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything to do with his behavior on and off the court. You know what I mean? From, you know, the LaFlop era.
You already know when you put that la in front of it, when you put that la.
Weak, coughing, teasing. Dirk Nowitzki then getting his doors blown by one dude. You know what I mean? Just the weakness that is his aura.
Mm-hmm.
His aura is just weak when it comes to said and done. And I know that's crazy. And I already know who you know I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Talking about LeBron.
Yep.
And, you know, he gonna have damn near every record. I get it. Bro just passed Reggie Miller or caught Reggie Miller in three-pointers.
Which is crazy.
I mean, there's really not – I mean, he's rewriting the record books. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about his talent. I'm talking about players that I don't like for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of those players. Whether it's all the lying he does about shit that he don't be doing or don't be
– like reading books. That's one.
Oh, it. It's just him, man. And what it is I think, and what I've identified is that he is as insecure as anybody with as much talent as he has could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just because he's so concerned with being viewed as the greatest of all time. I guess having to live up to the hype, all of that has created him to be this giant, big pussy, bitch made ass type dude, right? And it comes across a lot of, in a lot of ways, in the way he acts, in the way he behaves. And, you know, he tries to front like he's not, but it's just him. And it just, you know what I mean? Like they say, it ain't on you, it's in you.
It's in you.
It's not on him. It's in him.
Hmm.
And you can tell by the way he behaves, whether it's when he was throwing shade on Derrick Rose for getting the MVP or throwing shade on KD for getting the MVP. Like I said, all the flopping, all of the real talk ring chasing. And in L.A., he didn't necessarily ring chase, but, you know, he knew he had the opportunity to basically run the organization. The only organization that he couldn't run was Miami, and he left there because of it. Because
mm-hmm.
Pat Riley wouldn't
have him
acquiesce to his fucking demands. Wasn't gonna get rid of Spoelstra. He tried to get rid of Spoelstra. Like I'm just
Pat Riley is mafia, and Spoelstra has come from up under Pat Riley, so he's mini mafia. Now he's probably just mafia now. He wasn't running none of that. I think they broke up in Vegas during the Summer League, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that. It was like a secret meeting in Vegas. And Pat Riley was like, fuck out of here. And that nigga said, I'm taking my talents to hell. He said, I'm going back home. I'm going back home, and then I'm gonna go and I'm gonna play for one of the most prestige franchises in sports history. Because I need me a TV deal, I need me a record deal, and I need any other kind of deal that you got available.
Like, he's always been that dude. He's been a poop butt nigga. You know what I mean? So
that's throwback. That's 90.
LeBron at number five. I'm gonna get off him right now because that's about it, right? Number four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go with. It was close. Gosh damn it! There's a lot of them, but I'm gonna go. I don't like Danny Ainge, but I don't think he's gonna make my list because I don't know if I didn't like him.
We don't like Danny Ainge's face.
He just was a. But I don't know.
You're like a shady lawyer.
I really disliked him that much to the point to make my list. But anyways, this next dude, I did dislike him because. He was always on my dude, Kobe. Like, this was, and it wasn't like he had anything else to offer but try to fuck with Kobe every time they played. And they were our chief rivals in the Spurs, he was always in Kobe's mix. And I'm talking about Bruce Bowen.
Yeah.
He would hit a three occasionally, but his whole claim to being in the league was his defense, and it wasn't.
Bruce Bowen was damn near almost the poster child for the 3-and-D position. You know what I mean? Pause if needed. But yeah, there's been a lot of former players that said that he was just a hack in general. It's the type of player that you will love that while he's on your team, but if he's not on your team, you don't like him at all. So I totally get where J-Mac is coming from on this.
It was old school, grabby, fucking pesky, fucking, like, defense. Like, it's not like he's moving his feet and he just clamped. It wasn't like no Kawhi Leonard defense, right? Like, he just got hands and fucking strength, and he's just gonna fucking annoy you and get under your skin and fuck with you and do dumb shit. And it was always with Kobe, you know what I mean, that I witnessed it most, and it just pissed me off just because it was with Kobe. So I'm going to go with Bruce Bowen as my number four. Number three is going to be Dillon Brooks. And
Dillon Brooks is the fake tough guy. He might be Hall of Fame. But he did he got the gimmicks, though. And we all love the gimmicks. I ain't going to even lie to you. It's corny, but he's bringing more eyes to the Memphis game or whether he's playing for the Rockets or Memphis. Like, he's bringing a certain level of attraction because he's implementing other shit. He's doing which is not new, but he's doing pregame dances with the whole team. He's wearing a Stone Cold Steve Austin outfit. You know what I'm saying? It's things like that. He's going viral currently right now for humping Cats in the Post. But and he's always been that guy since Oregon.
The new asshole. I can't say new. Just a young version of these next three are just straight asshole players to me. They don't fucking. They all deserve to get their ass beat at some point. Like, and I just wish there was an Xavier McDaniel or a fucking Zach Randolph or somebody that would just fuck these niggas up. And show them that they're not as tough as they think.
There you go, Otis. There go another two. Xavier McDaniels and Z-Bo. If we're going to come up with a list about actual tough guys, they will probably be on the list too. Z-Bo up there high because we've seen him check niggas in the game. But I still got Ben Wallace up there at probably my number one. There's some other guys too. But we don't need to come up with that list. As we know, it's a lot more. It's a lot of tough guys that don't get the recognition or even the superstar attention, and that's just what it is. It's probably more fake tough guys as superstars or stars than it is actual tough guys. But let my nigga cook.
And so Dillon Brooks is that dude for me right now. In the league, at least one of them. His game is bleh. It ain't like, oh yeah, Dillon Brooks is that dude. But all he's going to do is he's going to try to fucking get on your best player and fucking thug him up.
Yeah,
rough him up. Try to fucking mean mug and act like he gonna do something, like he wanna beat the nigga up. And he
Dylan Brooks is the new Steven Lance Stevenson. He's a new Lance Stevenson for Bron. That's who Dylan Brooks is right now.
Nothing but Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? Like, ain't nobody scared of no fucking Dylan Brooks. And it's just, you know, and I'll give it to him. And the reason why he's third on my list is because he's the least bitchiness out of all the next three niggas that are on top of my list. Because he'll at least take on dudes bigger than him. He's not, you know, just little guy hunting. You know what I mean? For people smaller than him, which happened a lot with these next two dudes. But Dylan Brooks would be in my top three. Coming in at number three.
Okay.
Number two is an old school bitch made, non-jumping, funny running bad boy. And you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. We know we're going.
Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah.
And I cannot stand how nasty and dirty. Because, again, he was dirty. And I understand that the league was different. But this motherfucker would do shit that.
See, yo, Mike Otis, this is authentic hate. This is global hate for Laimbeer, and for you know, the right reasons. Like, he was a dirty player. The reason why I respect it is because that was who he was. He didn't play an image. He didn't act like a tough guy. That nigga was out there really fucking niggas up. He was out, and he looked like if the moment you was traded, and he wasn't fucking with you. He looked like, and I don't want to pull a race card, because it's some other, he has some other looks to him, but let's just say it is. He stuck up for his teammates, and even if he wasn't sticking up for his teammates, that nigga was sticking up for the team logo. You know what I'm saying? The epitome of bad boy was definitely that guy.
Literally caused people to get hurt. I mean, I'm pretty sure he the reason why Larry Bird back got fucked up early.
Larry Bird had a bad back.
There's a play where Bird go at him and Rodman in the same thing where Bird is trying to swing on him. And it's like, I would have swung on you. I would have fucking Doug Christie'd your ass in the fucking hallway going to the locker room, bro, because you tried to break my back. You fucking hog-tied me. Not, you know, nowadays they say he wasn't a basketball player.
Doug Christie socked Rick Fox in the jaw. It hurt. That drew blood. It seemed like Rick Fox must have bit his tongue after that hit. They tried their best to meet up in the tunnels, both of them. You wouldn't consider them tough guys, nor fake tough guys. Them niggas was just ready to fight. But let's carry on.
All of his fouls were not basketball plays. All of his fouls, his hard fouls, were not basketball plays, and he was just a bitch-made nigga. And the thing about it is he wasn't athletic, so it wasn't like, sure, he could shoot the three. He was one of the first big men that could shoot a three, but that's all he did. I mean, he fucking couldn't jump over a fucking dime. He was trash, bro, like, to me, like, literally. And I remember he wore a black eye. I think Barkley gave it to him. And it was fucking well deserved and probably well overdue. Like, he should have had more black eyes than he definitely ever did. And Bill Laimbeer is that fucking bitch made nigga from the 80s and 90s. That if you ever watched him play, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Trash and fucking just out to fucking hurt people. So yeah, he's number two. And you're like, damn, he only make number two? Well, yeah, number one is the most bitch-made motherfucker that I really can't. And I think the biggest part of why I can't stand this motherfucker is because so many people think that he's good. That this motherfucker has an opportunity to make the Hall of Fame averaging like fucking 11 points.
Oh,
fucking,
shit.
You know, nine rebounds.
I know what you're talking about. Like,
who does that? Nobody. But because this motherfucker is in the optimal prime situation of being on the Golden State Warriors and has won multiple titles, he might get his ass in the Hall of Fame. And it's just horrible to even think that, because he's trash. And it's clear he's trash, because the year that Steph didn't play, Draymond, you didn't hear shit from Draymond. Draymond was like a 6 point a fucking, you know, night average nigga. Like, in, I forget what, 15? Was it 2015 maybe? I don't know. Whenever.
Now, in his defense, though, I hear what you're saying. When Curry went down, they lost Clay. He was the guy. But you never expected Draymond to carry a team by himself. Now, the finals where they played Cleveland, and he got ejected. Remember, he got kicked out of the game. I forgot which game that was. I think that was either like game three or four. It was one of those games. It was a pivotal. It was an important game. Everybody in the world said, if Draymond was to play in those games, the Warrior was to win another championship. That's how they felt. That's how everybody felt. So, true, I definitely believe he's not able to win a championship carrying the team. He's not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? But he was a pivotal player in the finals at that time. So, as much as he needs to be surrounded by some killers, those killers need him as well.
Risk. Draymond fell off the fucking map. Clay wasn't there. Draymond wasn't there. I mean, Steph wasn't there. And Draymond was a non-factor. Non-factor. And this motherfucker, to me, is the epitome of a tough, fake, tough guy bully. You hear him talking. And I mean, it's probably because he got this podcast where he talks shit. And he's probably going to have a career like Chuck afterwards, fucking being controversial in people's face, because there's enough people like me that fucking...
It's the new media. Like, the players, Carmelo has talked about it on his podcast with Rudy Gay and some other former athletes, and it's the new media. Like, they're... Stephen A is going to have whatever chicks he get him, and he's going to have to save him. There's no evidence of him being a poor money management type of person or anything like that. But what I'm saying is, his voice is not going to be as powerful as it is within the next couple of years. Why? Because now we're starting to get former athletes that hasn't really been out of the game that long coming. You know, and I'm not against the whole podding after the games and stuff like that, because they're going to use that as an excuse that you're not focusing on what you need. What's much to focus on a loss? Like, we lost. You know, I could be going out to the clubs and shit like, do y'all know what the fuck Dennis Rodman was doing after certain games? You know what I mean? Like, stop. No, podcasting is not a distraction from them niggas actually winning. You know what I mean? That has nothing to do with it. Now, how they talk about the game afterwards, I mean, it's going to be something to listen to. But y'all want them to be real and then not be that real at the same time. Like, you know, there's only certain things that they're able to say in the post game. In the press, you know, there's only certain things you can say. But on that podcast, oh, they about to let shit fly. So I'm not mad. I'm not really mad at that part.
Stand him that he's a polarizing figure. Fuck that dude. He's trash. And the fact that he's always doing some fucking dirty shit nonstop. I swear. And he only does it to people he know that is soft. Like a LeBron or a Frenchman or some fucking little nigga or a little dude on his team. Like, bro, I ain't never seen him try to fuck with nobody his own size or bigger. And that's why, mainly, more than anything, I can't fuck with him. And he's at the top of the list because he's a fake tough guy. Sure, you fucking knocked Jordan Poole in the fucking jaw.
Slept
Jordan Poole's
man.
A fucking guard, and he's like...
Held him up, too.
Light-skinned with a fucking weird mustache. Like, you ain't squared up on nobody, bro. Like, I remember Zach Randolph was like, listen... Talking that shit to him, and he didn't have nothing to say, bro. Like, because nobody fuck with Z-Bo, bro. Like, you know that's a real dude. He'll bust your face. He was doing that in fucking Portland as a rookie, cracking people's orbital sockets on a team in the locker room. Run up. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, and Draymond ain't that dude. Draymond talks shit to the referees because they can't do nothing, and they're little, and he tries to act like he's going to punk them, like, what are you going to do? I wish, if I was a referee, I would just stop and square up. Like, nigga, do something. I wish you would. Get the fuck off me. Quit following me around yelling. Oh, suck ass dude. I can't stand him, man. And so, yeah, that's my top five. Draymond definitely tops the list with his old bitch made fucking bully ass fucking fake tough guy self. So there it is, my dude. I was going to throw in Zaza just because he was a dirty nigga, too, the way he ended up fucking up Kawhi and
Dante, you know, Jones. I mean,
really, that helped the Warriors get one of their championships because Kawhi was busting their ass. And if it wasn't for Zaza doing that fucking cheap shit, you know what I mean? He was known for some cheap shit. So he definitely gets an honorable mention. I felt like maybe I should have thrown a European in there, but he didn't make it. But that's my top five, my guy. Top five for J.B. Max, most hated NBA players of all time. And, yeah, tell me what you think. All right, player. Like,
shout out to J.B. Max for that one. That was a long, 13 minutes of pure hate right there. I hate the way that you walked, the way that you pure. And this came about because we talked about players that, well, this started from me sending feedback into the What Up Though podcast about they are Pistons fans. They from Detroit natives, and they speaking very highly of their team. And I just sent in a little small feedback about congratulations to them coming back from the dead. Them niggas is outside now. You know what I'm saying? They got the Knicks in the playoffs. We talked about it early with Manny. And to me, that's probably the most exciting matchup in the playoffs right now on the East side. But I did have a little bit of criticism towards Isaiah Stewart because I hate niggas in general that do the fake tough shit. It's like the nigga that likes to slap box in front of women when the chicks come around. He gives me that vibe. But at the same time, who's to say that he's actually, I don't know him personally, but that's just my fair critique. Like, again, I'm sharing the same energy that everybody else shares towards my team or my favorite players, artists, or whatever. So I don't put too much thought into it. It's just a simple critique. But he is on that list. Where I would rank him, I don't know. My all-time hatred for a player is probably Chris Paul. I think that's one of the fakest tough guys known to mankind. But he also dirty, too. And he has shown, he don't even hide it. He's a great actor. Great actor, obviously, because he has commercials. But I still respect his game. Like Jamie Mack said in one of his critiques, this has nothing to do with his play on the court. Well, mine has a little bit to do on the court when it comes to Chris Paul because the nigga is dirty. Look, Rondo has something to say. Pat Bev has something to say about it. And Pat Bev used to be on that list until I realized sometimes you don't really understand a player, where they come from and how they act until you actually hear them talk, hear them in an interview and stuff like that. Pat Bev is one of the dopest human beings on the planet. Funny too. And when he was doing the podcast with JJ, that was phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you look at it kind of different, and Pat Bev game is nice or whatever. Now, I like this whole little 1v1 they got going on with some of these retired players, you know what I mean? But Pat Bev used to be on that list because I'm like, man, dog, you doing too much. But until I realized, well, certain players got to do too much. Sometimes they antics and the way they go about playing defense and shit like that. Remember Ruben Patterson, the Kobe stopper? You know what I'm saying? Like, all these guys play the villain role. And that's what it is. So Isaiah Stewart might not be he might not even be high on my list. It's just something I'm pointing out. He's not the only one. Dylan Brooks is higher than Isaiah Stewart. Dylan Brooks, when I seen that nigga show up to the arena in a Stone Cold fit, I said, this nigga is. This nigga is wild. So it's not, and I get it, you know, because Detroit fans, Pittsburgh fans, Cleveland Brown fans, maybe not even Philly, not Philly, but there's certain franchises where they have that Cheers bars, close neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? They have that fan base. It's like that homegrown fan base type of love and stuff like that. So they could take offense to me saying anything about their squad, anything negative. It could be about the water boy. I don't like how that nigga run onto the court with the water. And then they're going to, you know, it's going to be some smoke. But it's just fair critique. It's one player. out of all that, the whole roster, I fuck with majority of them, and two of them I want on the Lakers team. One of them I wanted us to draft. We had the opportunity to draft, if I'm not mistaken. But outside of that, it's one player, dog. I don't even hate none of the bad boy niggas, except for Lambeer. Like, he was, that nigga, he wasn't out there playing basketball at all. And Zeke. Mike, what's Zeke talking about, bro? As much as we criticize Bron, like Jamie Mack said, lying. The nigga talking about lying, reading books, not knowing the lyrics to certain songs, shit like that, just flopping. You know, he gonna be the poster child of flopping too. But warming up when nobody is in the arena with your shirt off and a do-rag on, that's become a problem? This nigga is talking about having some respect for the game and respect for yourself by not having a shirt on and a do-rag on? My nigga, we not about to sit up here and throw stones. Okay, Zeke? It's not even a slow news week, nigga. Like, the playoffs is coming up. Okay, the playoffs is coming up. The NFL draft is coming up. It's not a slow week. It's not a slow week at all. So you don't have to make up any headlines. Like, bro, we was okay with you and your Jordan beef. Okay, that seemed like that one's gonna never die. Go back to that, okay? Because you got a legit reason to go after MJ. But this nigga LBJ, like, again, it's like when niggas is throwing darts at him. And you throw a dart at him for no reasons. Like, bro, we got reasons over here, okay? We got reasons for this nigga flopping and lying to us on camera and stuff like that. I got a personal problem with this nigga inbounding the ball because it seems like he just doesn't know how to do it anymore. But to sit up here and talk about the nigga got his shirt off and he got a wave cap on, a do-rag on, doing warm-ups, the pre-warm-ups. This is not the warm-ups with the crowd. No one is in the arena. And it's a home game at that. Like, nigga, we do not care about. Hey, y'all go check out Manny B podcast any given Sunday. I forgot the website that he told y'all to go. He know his baseball shit. Run it back. Okay. Jamie Mack, No Nonsense Show. Go check them out. That's one of the flag shows on the Rare Sinus Network. The flag show, I should say. Let's not be disrespectful. That is the flag show. Obviously, BTG for President is over there, and Open Run is over there. Shout out to What Up, though. My boys over there in Detroit, go check them out as well. Open Run with BTG, I'm glad for the niggas that came in here and who for the day. Jamie Mack, do not bring no shoes back into my gym, brother. Don't do that. Respect my gym floor, all right? All right, y'all.